The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
And now, Barron's ranked top 100 independent advisors. It's time for Scott Hanson and Pat McLean of Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Glad you are with us on this, the second weekend of September. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Both myself and my co-host here, we are both financial advisors. We spend our weeks working with people like yourself, helping them plan their financial futures. We come here on the weekends, Saturdays, to be your financial advisors on the air. And Hanson McLean's Money Matters has been broadcasting out of Northern California for 20 years.
But relatively new to the KGO family.
That's right. And glad for those listeners who are part of the program. And I know many are listening through KFBKs and many through KGO.
Or iPod, pad. What's it called? I-something-something?
iPod. It's the iPod pad. our podcast, which we have. It seems more and more listeners. That subscription keeps going up every week, too.
Yeah.
What do you know?
Someone asked me. I was taking a survey. It had to do with the public television. I was taking a survey, and they asked, how many different communication devices does your family have that they view media on?
What kind of media? Any kind of media?
Television, video. That sort of thing. Video, that sort of thing. So
you started adding them up?
I started adding them up, and just the mobile portion of it in our family was 12 devices.
Well, you've got four kids.
That's right.
But still, three each?
No, I have two. My wife has two.
I guess I have
we each have an iPhone and an iPad.
I have that, yes. What else? What more do you have?
Well, there's six times two is 12, so there was 12.
I'm not very good with numbers. Hold on. Let me write this down.
And then they said, So the second question was, now, in addition to that, do you subscribe to any services? And I said, you mean like cable? Said yeah. He said, "Well, Amazon, Hulu, Netflix, and then cable." So fortunately, my wife pays all the bills. Or I don't think
you was not liking the cost each.
I have absolutely no idea which is better that way. Anyway, I don't know how.
Yeah,
we got
I don't
on
know.
What
is this? I almost fell asleep. And there's there's four listeners. I could see it. Three listeners left right now. My mom just dropped.
You can see it. We can see who's listening.
Someone just joined. They left already. Look at that.
We're talking to ourselves now.
Anyway, Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We talk about financial matters if you have been a part of the program for a while. And we love taking calls. If you've got a question for us, something in your financial life that you'd like to have a question about, we'd love to hear it. And it could be on anything financial. So doesn't matter what it is. It could be your retirement. It could be insurance issues. Anything that has to do with your
life. Could be life insurance. Could be trust. Could be mortgages, property and casualty. All that incredibly good stuff.
And so to be part of the program, the number to join the show is 888-2-HANSON, 888-2-HANSON. And numerically, it's 888-242-6766. I'd love to take your call. Real quick, Pat, you mentioned life insurance. So I had a universal life policy that I bought in 1990 and still had it. I hadn't put money in it in years.
So 25 years.
I hadn't put money in it in years. And it's one of those things that it was such a small piece of my financial life. I just frankly never got around to it. And I thought, well, I got an extra $100,000 in life insurance death benefit. But it was an old contract that had a 4% guarantee minimum on the thing.
Really?
Yeah. So as any good financial advisor, I thought, I wonder how much money I could shove in this with the 4% floor.
Wow. Aren't you glad you kept it?
No, because there's a... I called the insurance company and they finally called me back. And there's a sales charge on deposits of 5%. So,
well, it still might make sense.
Five off the top.
Yeah.
Four credit. I'd be minus one the first year.
And minus one plus some.
plus a tiny bit. The second year, I'd have the... So you're saying for a couple year, it might be higher than 2 years. It'd be higher than a 2 year treasury.
That's correct.
But I don't...
Your average return over a 3 year
period...
You
know, I can do the math there, Matt. My point was, and the reason I brought this up, is you have some of these things, there's lots of levers and moving parts there.
So out of curiosity, is there a limit to how much money you could put
in?
Well,
you know, because I asked about it before it became a modified endowment contract.
But what do you care if it becomes a MEC?
But now that I'm sitting there talking with you, it's like, what do I care? But there's the 5% load off the top.
I would, if I thought I was going to own it for more than 3 years.
Well, 2 years is better than a 2 year CD.
Yes, yes. Yes, I'll purchase that contract.
Okay,
from you.
Would you? I'll sell it to you.
No, but that's it. So the point being is, look, we're not huge fans of Universal Life.
No.
Annuities sometimes, but not often. But if you have these old contracts,
some of them are good.
Some of them are good if you use them right.
We've seen some from some of these annuity contracts from the 70s that have a minimum of 5% floor on them.
Yeah,
we've seen some old life insurance contracts before the 80s when they had different tax benefits. Some of those old contracts, I don't care what you might hear the news. You might hear someone like us
say these are garbage.
Yeah, why would you ever do that?
But you own it already.
Same thing with front-loaded mutual funds. I heard someone call a program and they say, oh, that's a loaded mutual fund. You shouldn't own a loaded mutual fund. I'm thinking, well, they already paid the sales.
The damage has already been done.
They paid the entrance fee to get to the dance. They're there. Maybe it's worth them staying around.
Yes. So.
The moral to the story is, I don't know what it is.
No, the moral to the story is.
Pay attention to some of those old contracts. Sometimes they make some sense. But look at the little nuances
and
here
look
and
at
there.
The damage. If you've already paid the freight, you know, enjoy it. Enjoy the ride.
One of the issues with some of these insurance, so the problem is, when you talk to somebody, a local agent, they get paid to sell you something new.
Yeah, so they're not going to tell you about the benefits of the thing you own.
They'll say they have the newer product and how much better it is. And that's what we see happen. So some of these old annuities. Look, we don't sell fixed annuities, and they hardly ever make sense. And there's
correct.
Some bad.
But
the taxation of them is bad. It's tax deferred, but it's tax.
Is ordinary income, times, not capital gains.
There are times that make sense. By and large, they don't make sense. And we see oftentimes is where someone has an annuity, an old contract with some good benefits on it, or an old life insurance contract. Because remember how high interest rates were in the 80s?
And people, you think anyone in the financial services thought interest rates would get this low, ever?
Nobody ever did.
Ever.
Nobody ever did. You know what I find peculiar?
What?
So my point is, just be careful. And if you go to the bank, because you got to...
Don't let them sell you an annuity.
They call and say your annuity's matured. It hasn't matured.
There's no such thing.
Most of them you can
have. I said they mature at age 100.
Yeah, okay. It's late. It's not just because the surrender charge is over. The surrender charge over, they're trying to make another sell.
And they try it. The bank, they try to steer you to the financial advisor sitting in the corner. My bank does. About twice a year, they say, hey, Mr. McLean, you should probably go talk to a Billy over there. I'm like, Billy?
Billy?
Billy's over there playing.
Who goes by Billy?
Billy's over there playing video games.
Is that your vision of a financial advisor at a
no
bank?
No they're
how is it that all brokers are now financial advisors anymore? You notice how the lexicon's changed. It used to be a stockbroker.
Yeah, everyone's a financial.
They're
advisor.
All financial advisors, whether they advise or just salespeople.
Yeah,
insurance agents, financial advisor.
Anyway,
but advise you. So here's what I find peculiar. You mentioned interest rates. Nobody thought they were going to get this low, right? Including most fixed income managers didn't think they were going to get this low.
Yeah, including those people that wrote the old annuities.
And we see right now that people say, look, it's so hard to predict the stock market. You're better off just buying an index fund than you are buying active management. But I hear an argument on the fixed income, and I say the same argument. Well, with fixed income, with this interest rate environment, you're better off with active management rather than an index. But if you take the data and you come to the conclusion that people can't predict the direction of the stock market, why do we believe that they can predict the direction of the bond market?
Well, why? Because I don't think you could go negative. And if you do go negative, you can't go negative very long. So I'm pretty confident predicting that bonds are going to go up at some point in time.
Interest rates, you mean?
I'm sorry.
Bonds, yeah.
At some point in
time.
Well,
I kind of know the answer. And part of it is just the lack of liquidity in the bond market. Very complex. It's much larger than the stock market.
It's much larger and more complicated.
Much more fragmented than the stock market.
Much more complicated.
Yeah. Although you wouldn't think that at first blush, but it just kind of turns out to be that case.
That's because every bond looks different. Not every bond, but most bonds.
Well, that's a good point.
Right?
They have different maturity dates.
General Motors issues, you've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different types of bonds.
Different collateral. It's got
different
covenants on it. All kinds of different.
They're all different.
Yeah. Anyway. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start taking some calls. We'll talk to Carrie first, and we'll hear from you if you'd like to be part of the program. To join the show, it's 888-2-HANSON. It's 888-2-HANSON. Also, if you've got a question, you go to moneymatters.com, and your question there, and we may get you on the program as well. So stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Got a question? Visit moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
You hear Scott Hanson and Pat McClain each weekend as they host Hanson McClain's Money Matters. And if you're not yet a client of Hanson McClain Advisors, you really ought to give them a shot. You see, the same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McClain Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McClain Advisors is to first listen to you and then help come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Goals that range from retirement planning to debt elimination to income solutions. Hanson McClain Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McClain Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products. They use investment tools from well-known brand names, in addition to financial products from lesser-known boutique shops, all with the objective to help you meet your financial goals. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McClain Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at moneymatters.com.
Back to one of the longest-running financial programs. Here's Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McClain, thanks for joining us or staying tuned. Or being here.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Thanks for being here today. So glad you're part of the show.
Well, yes, it's kind of important.
That's very important. Matter of fact, if we had no listeners, we wouldn't have this job.
Yes.
And
Anyway,
so let's take some calls at 888-2-HANSON. We're talking with Carrie. Carrie, you're with Hanson McClain.
Hi, how are you today?
Hi, Carrie. We're great.
I have a question for you. I have about $2,000 in my grandson's account. He's 4 right now. And I was saving it for him for college. It's just in a regular savings account. Is there something else I can put that $2,000 in that would make a little bit more than he's making in a savings?
Your time frame is 14 years plus or minus before he actually starts spending the money.
Correct.
So when you say, can it make a little bit more, I will give you suggestions that the probability of there being more money there in his age 18 than in a savings account. But I can't tell you whether it'll be more or less tomorrow. And the reason is because it has risk in it. So there's a program that's actually, and you're in the state of California, if you go to scholarshare.com, you can open up a 529 plan for him. And a 529 plan is just a college savings plan. Inside that 529, you have all kinds of different investments. You can buy stocks, you can buy bonds, you can buy mutual funds. Most of them are packaged as mutual funds, and some have some fixed income or savings accounts just like you have now. The 529 gross tax deferred comes out tax-free.
As long as it's used for college.
As long as it's, and it's, more importantly, it's yours. It's your asset, but it's got your grandson's name on it.
And it's out of your estate, too.
And what that means is that if your grandson decides not to go to college, it's your money. You don't have to give it to him.
Okay.
And that's no.
It's kind of funny.
We have thousands of clients. We have seen just about. I shouldn't say everything because every week we're amazed at new things. But the 529 plan gives you that option and the probability of there being more money invested that way versus keeping it in the savings account when the child reaches 18 are significantly higher. of earning more money.
Right now, is the account in your name or is it in your grandson's name?
It's in my name in trust for him.
Okay, so it's not in a uniform gift to UGMA or UTMA account.
Does it say UTMA or UGMA on the account?
No.
Okay.
Perfect.
You're okay. You're okay. Yeah. So just take it out of there. Go to scholarshare.com. And
One of the plans they have is what's called an age-based or age-weighted. I think it's called an age-based.
Age-based.
So what happens with this, Kerry, is that he's young right now, so it'll be invested somewhat aggressively because he's got a lot of time. And as he gets closer and closer to college, it becomes more and more conservative.
Okay.
And it's the same. I used a 529 for my four children.
I opened up an account at scholarshare.com for my two kids.
And I actually recommended recommended one to some grandparents that are in a similar situation just this last week.
Oh, okay, great.
All righty.
Well, thank you.
All right, I appreciate the call.
You know, a little follow-up on that while we're on this, because it's easy to go down to the bank or talk to someone and say, I want to set up an account for my grandchild. And they say, okay, and they set up what's called a Uniform Gift to Minors Act or a Uniform Transfer to Minors Act, either UGMA or UTMA. And if you set up an account like this, technically you are still the trustee on this. It sounded to me like...
It didn't sound like it was done right.
I don't know how it was set up at Carrie's, but she said it wasn't one of those, so she'll have to kind of see. But the challenge is when you set up an account as a UTMA or UGMA for the child, UTMA or UGMA, the asset is going to be the child's regardless. The money has to be used for their welfare and support regardless of their situation. And when they reach a age of 21...
It's theirs.
Yeah, in some states it's 18. It's their asset. And as Pat, you were saying, we've been in this industry a long time. I tell you, we've seen situations where we have clients come in and say, look, we've got this $30,000 set aside for Johnny.
And Johnny's
got a big drug problem right now.
What do we do? And the first question you ask is, does Johnny know the money exists? And they say, yes. Does Johnny know how much money exists? And the answer is no. What we do is we actually set up a different account with just a couple $1,000s in it to do the head fake. Johnny finds that and thinks it's all there is.
Yeah, well, I suppose. Yeah, but from a legal standpoint, it would be Johnny's dollars, regardless.
Yeah, but if it kills, you don't want that money to go to Johnny.
No, I understand.
Kill
absolutely. And I'm thinking of a client now who's the kids has a substantial amount of money, and the dad's like, he doesn't know it's there, and I'm worried he's going to find out about it. And he's a good kid, but he's afraid that these dollars are going to. $2,000 is not going to change.
For most kids, you give them $50,000 when they're 18. It probably changes their education a little bit, whether they go to college or not, or how they treat it. I mean, most 18-year-olds are not that mature.
No, most are more interested in car catalogs than college catalogs.
Yeah.
You need to be a little careful on these UTMA or UGMA accounts. And the beauty of the scholarship.
When was the last time you recommended an UTMA or UGMA?
Well, I haven't, but they're out there. That's why I'm recommending against
them. Don't be careful.
Them.
Yeah, don't do them at all.
Oh, don't do them. I wouldn't do them.
Just don't do them. The upside is so small in terms of the tax saving versus the downside. Just don't do them.
You're better off just having the money, keeping the money in your name and earmarking that it's going to go to them.
Yeah, and the reason I made emphasis to that, you said just be careful, and actually you didn't mean that. You meant don't do them.
Yes, and it'd be really easy to go down to the bank and say, oh, can I set up an account for my grandchild? Oh, yes, I'd love it. Just get to get the paperwork. And what's the kid's social security number? Okay, here we go. It's all set up. And they did what you asked, but it didn't accomplish what
you're
supposed to.
And for grandparents, if you're saving for a college education, 529 is the only answer. I've seen life insurance try to be sold as
come
with
on.
Savings. Yeah, certainly have.
Well, some of those old VULs weren't that. I mean, they could have been done that way.
Yeah, if used correctly.
Yeah, not for a grandchild, same for the grandkids account. Gerber Life with
Gerber
Life with a little bit of a side of life insurance on it. Yeah, I don't know, but the 529 plan is a great plan for college savings and recommended for us.
Yes, and don't put the money in an UTMA or UGMA, please.
Nope, wouldn't do it. 888-2-HANSEN, and let's talk with Cheyenne. Cheyenne, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, how are you today?
Wonderful. How are you doing, Cheyenne?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my call. I have actually two questions today based on a previous show I heard. So I'll just ask both, and then you can answer one, or if you want to, you can answer both.
No answer, Cheyenne. Okay. You are so pleasant. We will answer both.
Okay, awesome. Thank
Depends
you
Depends on what
much.
The questions
so,
are.
My dad recently took an early medical retirement, and my mom is still working.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure they have everything 110% together. But I was just wondering what questions should I be asking them as their daughter and potential caregiver later in life, and what resources could you direct me and or them to during this transition?
Got
time?
It. Wow. How old is your father?
He's just 60. So it's a little bit, before, and my mom is younger than that.
And
how old's your mother?
She's 52.
Do you plan everything out in your life like this, Cheyenne?
She's really.
I don't, but my family is so wonderful. And from your show a few weeks ago, I was just so happy that I started thinking about this because, we love our parents.
What
and
a great daughter.
I just want to make sure have it together.
Jessica, you should be listening, honey.
This is Scott's talking to his daughter. Cheyenne, tell me, his medical retirement, does it shorten his life expectancy, your father's?
I do not believe so.
Okay.
But
so it wasn't heart disease or cancer or anything like that?
It was a stroke.
Okay. The first thing you want to do is make sure he has a living trust, mm-hmm. that both your mother and father have a living trust. That is the number one.
And with a some sort of both a power of attorney and an advanced healthcare directive.
For both of those. The second thing you want to do
And the reason is, and not that it's going to happen again, but we've certainly seen situations where people have had massive strokes. They do not have an advanced healthcare directive. Suddenly there's the family trying to say, well, do we throw everything at this to try to keep him or her alive? And do we not? And it's
so in the living trust, most attorneys will include a durable.
That's a big benefit for kids. When if somebody already decides, look, don't resuscitate me. Or if it gets like this, pull the plug. Because it is very traumatic if you're trying to make a decision.
It stops the kids from arguing.
And it's just gut-wrenching. It's,
So that's the first thing you want to do. Did your father have a choice between a pension or a lump sum when he retired? Did he receive a monthly pension?
Again, these are all questions I'm not sure, okay. And that's part of the reason I'm calling.
Got it. So if he has a choice between a pension and a lump sum, that needs to be calculated whether it makes sense to take a pension or a lump sum. And when you take a pension, you always take a joint and almost always take a joint and survivor for your mom's benefit. The IRA beneficiaries need to be made sure that they're correct. And that's about it. I mean, there's not much more than you need to do than that.
Okay.
I mean, if it's long-term care insurance, it would have already need to be purchased for your father. You can see if there's any there. But
Through his employer. Long-term care insurance may be available through his employer, but purchasing it in the general market is probably cost prohibitive now that he had a stroke. And what was your second question for us?
The second question is, I would like to know what type of investments I should be making for myself in addition to CalPERS, because I was a teacher, so I have my CalPERS. But how can I make my money work for me? I have a very small savings account. And I was wondering if I should open an additional, like a Roth RIA or just an RIA, or if I should do something like a little bit more high risk, or if I should take out some sort of life insurance or something.
Are you still employed as a teacher?
I quit my job. I'm taking a small break, and I moved back in with my parents, and that's how I was able to save.
Got it.
And so I hope to go back to teaching, but right now where I have a little extra money, I'm wondering if I should invest it long term. So in addition to my CalPERS, if I should do something a little bit more risky,
a Roth IRA. If you have any earned income this year, did you work some this year?
Yes.
Okay, so you can contribute up to $5,500 into a Roth IRA, assuming you earn that much. The beauty there, it grows tax-deferred. If you leave it until retirement, it's tax-free. But you can always pull out your principal before that time, if need be.
And how old are you, Cheyenne?
I'm 31.
Okay, and I would just buy the total market.
So, I'd use an index fund called a total market index fund, plan on leaving the money there for 30 years.
And just buy the index fund total market and put it in the $5,500 in a Roth IRA.
It'd be a good long-term start for you.
But anyway, thank you for the call. What a nice daughter.
Yeah. Yeah,
have my daughter listen to that call as well.
Yeah,
and my son, and my two, all of the kids.
I'm sure they'll all gather together. Son, kids, we're going to listen to
this. Listen to Cheyenne. What a nice daughter she is.
Pay particular attention to that. 2 minutes and 18 seconds, kids. Hey, we got to take a quick break. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We're going to be right back. Don't go anywhere.
To be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766.
Are you as confident as you should be when it comes to your finances? Do you feel that you're on track to accomplish your goals? If not, you owe it to yourself to take a look at Hanson McLean Advisors. Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, hosts of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, founded Hanson McLean Advisors over 20 years ago to help people make wise choices with their money. The approach taken by Hanson McLean Advisors is one of financial planning, meaning the advisors take the time with each client to help map out a strategy before they offer any solutions. Their fee-based investment accounts are designed to be transparent and liquid, so you never have to guess what's going on under the hood. And there are no commissions when products are changed or when rebalances take place. Plus, unlike many investment firms, there is a high level of communication keeping you informed and up to date. With offices in Northern California, come and see how Hanson McLean Advisors can be of benefit to you. Contact them at 1-888-2-HANSON or moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Taking the financially complex and making it simple, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters at 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson here.
Pat McLean.
Huh?
Yes.
What?
It's good. It's all good. It's good.
Okay. Pat's happy today. That's good. If Pat's happy, we're all happy. So,
unfortunately,
it can be a good weekend after all. You never know. And it's the first thing that, what's Pat like today? We got to be careful. So it's good. So the rest of here in the studio, the rest of people here in the studio, Pat's happy. Pat says
it's
good.
Are you done?
It's all good.
Are you done?
I'm done now.
All right. Well,
I'm done.
Do you feel better about yourself?
Not really. That's my problem.
There we go.
And anyway.
Let's do this. All right.
Yeah. So.
We take calls. 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-242-6766.
And we want to also talk about modeling your 401k and doing some stress testing and whatnot.
But we talked to, who was it earlier, about the 529 plan. And then I made a note, but I failed to mention to her. She can go to our website, moneymatters.com, click on or type in 529 in the box, and it will give you a couple articles about how 529s work and how to use them.
Yep.
So, and actually, almost any topic that we cover on this show, we have curated. curate makes me sound
like more, it's art.
Like I'm more dignified than I really am.
We've curated.
As I'm sitting here with my t-shirt, shorts, and my Vans.
His velvet jacket.
My kids make fun of me because I wear Vans.
Well, their kids are bright.
So almost any topic that we cover on this show, we have curated articles. I'm going to use the word articles or little segments
or
of
e-books,
previous
videos,
shows.
Moneymatters.com.
Go to moneymatters.com. It is content, as they like to say in the web industry, content rich.
In the web industry. All right. Let's go to the phones, talk to Danny. Danny, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Pat. How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing, Danny?
Oh, doing wonderful. I just kind of one was wondering if we might be in the same position that as far as the stock market goes that we were in during the 20s, because I'm reading this book entitled, and I don't know if either of you have heard of this book, probably have, but The Great Crash of 1929, because you know what 2019 will be? It'll be the 80th anniversary of the 1929, and it was worse than even the one that happened in 2009, because there was a lot of credit. It was actually worse than the 1929 crash, but it was the credit that absorbed the majority of the hit.
So, Danny, who wrote the book?
His last name is Galbraith.
Yeah.
And they said that seems to really become popular in the, you know, right after crash or something to that effect. I've got it right here.
Is it James Galbraith?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So, and what they're trying to do is create comparisons in the book between 1929 and today. Correct. Which is, is there anything that was foreshadowing in 1929 that is foreshadowing today? So what took place prior to 1929 that causes us to think or make a comparison to what's taking place today to foreshadow either a rising or falling market, right? That's pretty much the premise of the book, correct?
Right, because, yeah, it's by John Kenneth Galbraith.
I do a lot of this sort of reading, and I didn't read the whole book, but I did actually look at it and read parts of it. So there are so many differences between then and now, you can't even make a fair comparison. Can I take bullet points? Can I take statistical data from them? For then and compare it to now? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, are there things that are similar? Yes. But one of the largest differences between 1929 and today was the use of leverage in the equity markets, or people actually doing options or taking their existing portfolios and borrowing against them to do this. We saw something similar in 1999. And we most certainly saw that type of leverage used in the real estate markets in 07 and 08, so the thing that you worry about is that, which is the amount of leverage in the marketplace. And right now, it's actually not that bad.
But yeah, I tell you also, the 1929 crash was much worse than the financial crisis we just went through.
Really?
In fact,
yes.
No. The unemployment rate was about 35%. Following that, I mean, it was a serious. The Depression was a serious time. I mean, granted, this financial crisis was a game changer for a lot of people, but not to the extent that the crash was. And what economists do, and there's, you know, the reason they have economists is to make astrologers look good, right? You get 100 economists and you ask their opinions on what's going to happen, you're going to have 100 different answers.
But actually going into the last recession, there were some fundamental problems in the economy and it was the use of debt. And if you listen to this radio show for any period of time, we don't oftentimes try to predict things. But it wasn't hard to actually say real estate is grossly overpriced. Be careful.
It's very apparent.
Absolutely. So the equity, and it wasn't hard to say in 1999, hey, technology stocks are grossly overpriced. Right now,
some of these new technology companies
are grossly overpriced.
I can't.
They're just grossly overpriced. So is there risk in this marketplace? Absolutely. I mean, there's no question. Part of the reason there's risk in the marketplace is because of the Federal Reserve's monetary policy of keeping interest rates so low for so long. It's forcing people to, well, I shouldn't say forcing. It's causing people.
Encouraging.
That's a great, right? It's encouraging people to take on more risk with assets that probably should be risk-free. And we see that. We see it on a daily basis with people coming into our office that have never owned an equity or a mutual fund in their life, and they're in their 70s, and they say, I have this $100,000 in the bank, and it's got to do more than this.
And, yeah.
So although those books are fun to read, I think making a comparison to the pre-Great Depression and what's happening in this economy, I just think they're just so fundamentally so far apart. Scott?
Okay. Yeah. Like night and day in that respect, and not, you know, on the same subject. Okay.
Yeah. But in saying that, yeah. Look, you could look at some of the stuff that's taking place in China.
Oh, yeah.
And their economic policy.
Oh, my goodness.
And the stock prices and their real estate prices.
That feels
a lot like it. Will China's have an effect on the U.S. economy? Absolutely. How big? Yeah. No one knows.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. We don't spend a lot of time trying to predict the next major downturn because I just don't think anyone can actually predict those things. Frankly.
No. So and then followed with another question, and then I'll leave you guys. But do you think the election of Trump as president will help things? Because he doesn't need the money. I mean, did you hear about what happened in Mobile, Alabama?
Yeah, I appreciate the call.
Yeah, I'm not going to get
I have my opinions. And actually, I have more than an opinion. I actually have a bet on it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You know, so I
with my this, neighbor. I'm not going to tell you what side I
this
took.
This last
but.
Week, I had a friend of mine. He's a world-renowned specialist in an area of medicine. Literally, I mean, he travels around the world because he's, and so he sent me an email. He's concerned about financial, and he pointed me to some guy. I was reading this guy. He makes a lot of sense. Can you check? So I first checked this guy. Some advisor. The firm had no assets. They were brand new, right? One employee, because I know how to do some of this research. But it was had this thing tied to every 7 years, went back to biblical times, that every 7 years there was a forgiveness of debt. And if you go back to that 1987 market crash, then the 94 bond debacle, then we had 2001, the dot-com boom. It was every 7 years. This is how the – so watch out because one's coming soon. And I looked at it for a second.
We're almost through the seventh year.
Yeah, that was it. That's exactly it. So look out. You better hire this. And I looked at it and I said, my response was, you know, when I look at this, had you bought either the broad stock market or any real estate asset anywhere, during any of those times, you would have been a very wealthy person today. So you can try to predict out when the next cycles are going to come, or you can realize that the cycles are going to come and you're not going to be able to outpredict them. And so I just thought it was kind of ironic. I'm looking at this and thinking, you would have done very well. Even if you bought before the 87 market crash, the day before, you would have done fine.
Yeah, you still would have been great.
Hey, we're taking a quick break. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Get a podcast of Hanson McLean's Money Matters delivered each week to your computer or mobile device. Simply visit moneymatters.com.
You hear Scott Hanson and Pat McLean each weekend as they host Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And if you're not yet a client of Hanson McLean Advisors, you really ought to give them a shot. You see, the same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean Advisors is to first listen to you and then help come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Goals that range from retirement planning to debt elimination to income solutions. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products. They use investment tools from well-known brand names, in addition to financial products from lesser-known boutique shops, all with the objective to help you meet your financial goals. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at moneymatters.com.
Advice without an agenda. It's back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Glad you're with us on this Saturday as we talk about the world of finance, talk about money, and looking at all kinds of different things from a financial standpoint.
So.
We had a period of time after the financial crisis where it felt like there was very little risk in the stock market. Matter of fact, we had a couple years where U.S. stocks, even primarily large U.S. stocks, were doing very well as a lot of other things weren't doing so well. Foreign stocks weren't doing as well. I mean, we just had some other, and from some investors, they started looking and thinking,
why do I own this stuff?
Why? Yeah.
What's the point?
Why shouldn't I just own the S&P 500?
And not mess with any of this other stuff.
I remember I had a friend of mine a couple months ago says, I don't know, I was looking and, you know, I don't know.
What actually, but if you go over a long, long period of time, let's say 10 years.
20 years.
20 years. You own the S&P 500 or you own a diversified equity portfolio, they're probably going to end up at the same place.
And I would actually argue if you had an S&P 500 versus a diversified portfolio over a 20-year period, the S&P would probably do better than having some diversification in there outside of equities,
Correct. But if you own all equities, global basket of equities.
The question is, what percentage of people, particularly as they're nearing retirement, will keep 100% of their money in stocks?
Very few.
That fell almost 60% during the financial crisis.
Very few. Very few. Very few. So your point being is, you question why you had a diversified portfolio.
No, people were doing that. Questioning why. And so, well, fortunately, I don't know if it's fortunate, there's technology and tools available today that can help you as an investor look to see how would things react if we had some other calamities like we've had in the past. Because we've experienced some stock market volatility the last few weeks.
We've used internally, as we manage this $2 plus billion, we internally use stress testing. We test the portfolios against different types of stresses. So
yeah.
To see, to give us a pretty good understanding of how they would react in different market conditions.
Yeah, you want to make sure you have things that aren't correlated one-on-one, right? You want to make sure that you get things to help smooth. And the whole point of this is to smooth some of the ups and downs, to do the best you can to manage some of the risk on the downside.
So this stress testing, it stresses on the upside and the downside, which is if the market moves up 20%, what percentage of the market are we going to capture? Is it 80%? Is it 100%? Is it 120%? What percentage of the market are we going to capture on the upside?
And?
On the downside.
Yeah. We go through another downturn. What's this going to look like, the portfolio?
So naturally, in a perfect world, you have a portfolio that only goes up, captures over 100% of the upside with no downside.
Yeah, well, it doesn't exist. It's impossible.
Yes. It's the unicorn portfolio.
And unfortunately, they're sold out.
Yeah. It doesn't exist. But it's probably a good idea for you to understand what your portfolio, and especially at company 401ks or 403bs or 457, where the bulk of the working people have most of their retirement savings. So the average American has most of their retirement savings in a 401k, 403b, or 457.
Yeah, employer-sponsored retirement plan.
So we've been using it for years in our portfolio, forms of stress testing. We have a tool that you can go to our website, moneymatters.com, and you can stress test your own portfolio, or you can have us do it for you.
Yep.
So you can type in your portfolio by putting in the ticker symbols, or you could take a snapshot of your statement or fax it or email it to us. We will build your portfolio and then stress it, test it. What's the stress test do? It's a portfolio stress test. It's
show you how well this thing. No one cares about upside. I mean,
no one. Well, yeah, actually, they kind of do, because what happens.
But no one ever calls and says, "Hey, this is at its all-time high. Should I sell?" Or, "I'm worried that this is going to keep going higher."
Right? Yeah, that's the problem. So what it does, what people want to know in their portfolio. Well, obviously, you want to know what percentage of the market are you picking up, but what's at risk?
That's what you really care about.
What's what most?
Yeah, we care about more about that than what percentage is in stocks. What's my potential downside here?
Yeah. And the downside,
if things go bad, how bad can my account get?
And we're going to give it to you in as a percentage. So it's up-to-date tools. Is it 100% accurate?
Well, no one knows the future, but you can certainly look at how things have the correlation historically.
And then make predictions going forward. So if you go to moneymatters.com, it's called the Hanson McLean Portfolio Stress Test. The Hanson McLean Portfolio Stress Test.
Money Matters Portfolio Stress Test.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Money Matters Portfolio Stress Test. We're Hanson McLean. That's Money Matters.
I'm Hanson. You're McLean.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
In case you forgot.
So, free, no charge. We think it's important. It's similar to the tools that we use internally to build and construct our portfolios.
Yeah. Yeah. MoneyMatters.com. You'll find it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's 888-2 Hanson. Let's talk to
and
Carlos.
People really, the people that have used it so far, they appreciate it.
Yeah. Carlos, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, how you doing?
Super.
Hey, I have a question. I'm a 38-year-old. My wife is 35. We just started actually looking into our financial retirement because we never really thought about it until now.
Okay.
And we make about $100 a year together, and we managed to save, I mean, so far only like $15,000. What percentage do you think we should be saving into a 401k?
Do either one of you have pensions through work? One of you work for the state or anything like that?
No.
Okay. I think at a minimum, Carlos, 10% is a place to start.
And I would say,
had you started when you're, you know, it didn't matter.
He's
30,
but he's still young, 38.
Do you have kids?
Do you have children?
Yeah. I got 3 girls. My youngest 8. My oldest 18.
So that's bad for your retirement planning right there, Carlos, having 3 kids.
3 girls?
Yeah.
3 girls. Wow. you want to put 15% into your 401k.
That's where, if you can have a goal of getting to 15%.
That's what the next thing I was going to. So you both have 401ks available to you?
Yes, we do. But hers is a lot better because she gets a percentage, I guess, match from her job. And I don't.
Okay.
So she, you know, I put in a little bit and we put in more in hers. So,
okay. And she probably only gets matched up to the first 5 or 6% of her contributions. Right.
Yeah.
You're older though. So I would actually, put, here's what I'm going to do. Call my office on Monday. Call my office on Monday. I'm going to ask you to send over your 401k statements and I'll build a model, for both of them to tell you how to invest the dollars.
Okay.
But here's, so if you have a goal of hitting 15%, start, if you can't afford much right now, do the point to the match on your wife's, the 6%, and try to get to 6% on yours.
Correct.
Okay?
And then every year, move it up by 3% until you're at 15%.
Yeah.
And that way it's slow. It's not, because the problem is, I say 15%, next thing you know, you move from 0 to 15%.
Ouch, yeah.
You're going to feel it. You move slow. Not as
right
much.
Now we're doing, I'm working a lot of overtime, for a couple months. So what I did, I raised it up higher just for now. And then so maybe later I'm able to bring it down a little. So
you're smart.
20% now.
Oh,
perfect.
Great.
Perfect.
Great.
Perfect. Perfect. Perfect.
Okay.
I tell you, you know what Carlos?
I'm
thinking, at 38, the fact that you guys are starting to think about this, if you just apply some basic things like you're doing right here, I'm working overtime, I'm going to save some more. And if you can get to say, well, if we can have 15% of our income go into our 401k,
and not loading up on consumer or auto debt at all, that's what really is the big. And you own a home?
I just bought one a couple months ago.
Okay, and what's the interest rate on it?
4.2.
Nice.
Okay, perfect, perfect. 30-year fixed. Don't ever pull any equity out of that mortgage. Don't ever pull any equity out of the house. Don't refinance. Don't do anything. Just make the payments. Don't get into auto loan debt. Don't get into consumer debt. If you get up to 15% on your 401k, you work until you're probably 65 or 67, you'll be fine.
Okay. Well, right. I hope not that long.
that's 30 years from now. The average American now, right now, is retiring at age, what is it, about 60, 61? The last one number I read was 60.
Still young.
It's
skewed with a lot of state and government workers.
That is correct, but it's still very, very young. Going forward, and we've seen this with the full retirement benefits at Social Security being moved to 67. 30 years working until you're 65 or 70 will actually be pretty commonplace. It will be more the normal than not.
Okay.
Anyway, so like I said, call my office on Monday. Tell them that I said to call me.
You're going to have eight people Monday. Eight Carloses.
So Carlos. When I actually took a Spanish class in high school, they called me Carlos.
Is that right?
Oh, it's terrible.
Make sure you remember my name.
All right, Carlos.
Thanks, Carlos.
Thanks. And then send in send the statements
so
and I'll allocate.
You were Carlos in high school, so I took a Spanish class, and I had my brother-in-law is named Scott, and so he told me what Scott was in Spanish.
Jaime.
Well, no. Anyway, apparently it's Escocés.
Oh.
But I heard him saying Escotres. So I was Escotres for like 3 or 4 months. And I talked to him one time. He said Escocés. I said Escotres. He said, not Escotres, Escocés. But by that point, the teacher knew me as Escotres, not Escocés.
Well, didn't the teacher try to...
She wasn't the best teacher. She had a nervous breakdown from a bunch of high school kids.
Really? The poor lady?
Yeah.
My oldest speaks fluent.
I might have actually helped. I was not the best.
How do you feel bad about that?
Yeah, I was a high school kid. I mean, I was, I was a little out of control.
Anyway, I don't know why I was actually trying to name names in Spanish because my Spanish is terrible.
But anyway,
well, thanks for listening to the show. Yeah. You can find us on moneymatters.com.
Escotres is right there.
moneymatters.com. And go to that site as well for the Money Matters Portfolio Stress Test.
Yep, and we are here on this station every Saturday morning. Plus, you can get a podcast of this program delivered to you each week. Again, moneymatters.com. This has been Hanson McClain. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you next week.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.